filtering through the leaves. So, what do you think? My dad reached over and scratched Birdie's ears, then patted him on the top of his head.
I think, he said,
looking around at all the dogs in the sunshine, and then smiled at me.
I think you picked a pretty great way to spend your summer, kid.
Yeah, I said, tugging on the leashes in both hands, more relieved than I'd realized I would be to hear this. It has its moments. Topher.
So who is this guy?
Me. You don't know him. Topher.
Try me.
Me. His name's Clark. Do you know any Clarks?
Topher. Clark?
Me. Told you. Topher.
What, did he time travel here from the 1930s?
Me. Ha. Topher.
Well, call me when you're free again. Or have your old-timey boyfriend send a carrier pigeon.
Me. Talk to you later, Topher. I dipped my toes into the hot tub and looked over at the very intense ping-pong game that was going on between Palmer and Clark on the lawn. Wyatt was in the pool, Toby was perched on the edge near him, and Bree and Tom were both floating on oversized rafts Clark had bought last week, shaped like donuts and pretzels. None of this was a new or unusual sight, because as I'd predicted, my friends had pretty much moved in. We still went to the orchard and other people's parties and movies when Bree could sneak us in for free. And there had been a week when Palmer had been determined to try out all the many golf courses in a 50-mile radius. And Wyatt had hit a hole-in-one into the clown's mouth and we'd all gotten free ice cream. But most nights, no matter what we did, we ended up back here, hanging out in the pool, watching movies on the couch, or lying on the lounge chairs under the stars. We'd even spent the 4th of July there, everyone lying on floats in the pool and watching the fireworks we could see overhead from the official town celebration. Well, everyone else had watched the fireworks. Clark and I had taken turns sitting with Birdie in the laundry room, since Birdie hadn't realized all the explosions were just for pretend, and had spent the night trembling and whimpering. Hey! I looked down and saw that Bree had floated up to the edge of the hot tub in her pretzel. She nodded over to where Toby was, and I could see in her expression that she was worried. She's fine, I said, though without a ton of conviction in my voice. Toby was wearing a new bathing suit, and she'd gotten her hair blown out straight, which was why she'd avoided getting in the water all night. She was wearing much more makeup than you normally did if you were going to be hanging out and swimming, and there was a kind of fixed desperation in her smile as she watched Wyatt in the pool. I don't know, Bree said, as she pushed off the wall and steered her pretzel closer to Toby. So, Wyatt, Toby called, in what I'm sure she intended to be a casual voice, but just came out strangled. Wyatt! She repeated when he still didn't look over at her.
Sorry,
he said, giving her a quick smile but not making a move to go any closer.
What's up?
So, she said, her voice coming out too fast and rehearsed as she smoothed her hair down with one hand. I was thinking about how you were saying you needed a new band name, and I came up with...
That's okay,
he said with a shrug as he started to swim into the deep end.
We decided it might be better to just be unnamed. More mysterious, you know?
He ducked under the water, and I watched Toby's smile falter. I didn't get any better over the next hour. Toby moving around the pool, clearly trying to be closer to wherever Wyatt was, and Wyatt either not noticing or avoiding her on purpose, but either way barely talking to her. Palmer had won the last three ping-pong games and decided to quit while she was ahead, and we'd been lying on loungers next to each other while Tom and Clark tried to dive through the hole of the donut raft, often with disastrous results. I've got this,
Tom said as Bree steadied the donut in the water for him. I'm just visualizing my victory. And Clark didn't let him finish, just pushed him in, and Tom belly-flopped spectacularly, sending water flying. My hair! Toby yelled, scrambling to her feet, and I could see she'd been squarely in the splash zone. Hey! Tom said as he resurfaced, sputtering. Not cool, man. I could have died. Did you have to do that? Toby snapped, glaring at Tom. Really? I was trying to keep my hair dry. It's the one thing I wanted, and you guys just... You just... Toby's voice broke, and as I watched in horror, she started to cry. Bree was out of the pool, lightning fast, putting her arm around Toby's shoulders and steering her toward the house. I looked at Palmer, who nodded and helped pull me to my feet. I'm sorry, Tom called, sounding baffled as to what was happening. Palmer and I found them in the kitchen, where Toby was sobbing into a paper towel and Bree was rubbing her back. Sorry about your hair, I said, even though I knew it wasn't about the hair. Toby started to smile, but then gave up the attempt partway through and shook her head. It's so stupid! It's not, Bree said immediately. I just keep thinking that one of these days he'll look over and really see me, you know? She wiped under her eyes, where mascara had started to streak down. I know, Bree murmured, pulling her in for a hug. I mouthed, she okay? To Bree, who gave me a small smile and nodded. I've got this, she mouthed back. An hour later, things had calmed down somewhat. Toby had pulled herself together and had done a spectacular swan dive into the water, clearly giving up on her hair for the night. After a serious game of sharks and minnows earlier that had ended with Palmer doing victory handstands in the shallow end, I was on a lounge chair with Clark. He was sitting behind me, and we were wrapped in the same towel. Bree and Toby were sitting on the edge of the deep end together, feet dangling in the water, laughing. Palmer was floating on her back while Tom treaded water next to her, saying something that made her smile. Did I tell you? I asked, shaking my head as I leaned back against Clark. You told me, he said, leaning down and kissing a spot that I'd never even thought about before, but drove me crazy whenever he came near it, right on the edge of my shoulder. Over the course of many hours of making out, my formerly rigid boundaries, just kissing and nothing more, had gotten a little fuzzier. Clark wasn't the one pushing me, though he seemed thrilled every time we ventured just a little further from my self-imposed limits. It was mostly me. Everything was just feeling so good and so right that I was having more and more trouble remembering why I'd decided that was all I could do. They're never leaving, I said, shaking my head. Don't say I didn't warn you. I felt, rather than heard, Clark laugh behind me, and I leaned my head against his neck and closed my eyes for a moment, breathing it all in. The faint smell of chlorine on his skin, the way I could feel the pulse in his neck beating against my cheek, the soft terry of the towel around us. I looked up and saw the stars, and despite what had happened before, I felt really peaceful. Clark was next to me. I could hear my friend's laughter so close. And I knew for a fact that there was an unopened bag of chips inside in case we got hungry later. It felt like a really perfect moment that nothing could ruin.
Hey,
I heard Wyatt say, and I raised my head to see that he was sitting on a lounge chair across the pool from me, near Bree and Toby, and he had his guitar with him.
You guys mind if I jam out?
Sure, Toby immediately replied, tucking her hair behind her ears. Of course.
No, I said,
struggling to get up, only to have Clark tighten his arms around me. I could already hear him laughing as he held me back. "He's doing it again," I protested, turning to look at Clark.
"I know," he said, smiling down at me.
"You promised. After last week's 12-minute original composition, you said you'd let me shut him down the next time."
"I said that,"
Clark admitted, as across the water, Wyatt started to strum a chord. "How is he going to learn this isn't okay?" I asked, giving up and letting myself fall back against Clark, who kissed the top of my head.
"Next time," he promised.
The music started to drift toward us. It wasn't bad, though I'd never admit it. Clark held me a little tighter, and I leaned back against him, threading my fingers through his.
"Next time, for sure."
"I'll believe that when I see it," I said, leaning my head back against his. Clark kissed my neck, and I felt a shiver run through me.
"So you're free tomorrow, right?"
he murmured, his lips close to my ear.
"For your surprise?"
"Uh-huh," I said, trying to make myself focus. Clark had asked me last week to make sure the day was clear, but he'd refused to tell me any more of what we were going to do. I'd kind of been hoping it would involve Clark's empty house, the two of us, and an uninterrupted afternoon, and had let my mind drift toward this possibility more than it should have. "No clues?"
"Don't worry,"
Clark said, wrapping his arms around me and pulling me close.
"I think you're going to love it."
"I can't believe you went mountain biking," Toby laughed as she shook her head. I raised my head slightly, but every muscle in my body protested, and I lowered it again. It was 2 days since Clark's big surprise, and now, in Toby's bedroom, I was still feeling the after effects. I'd spent the night before, when everyone else had been playing a very high-stakes game of chicken in the pool, sitting in the hot tub. "Clark's from Colorado," I explained. Even talking hurt. Even breathing. Needless to say, I had not been a fan. It was a sport for crazy people, and I was never going to do it again. "They think things like that are normal." "I wouldn't do it," she said definitively. "You totally would," I said, mostly to her ceiling, since it hurt too much to lift my head. "Don't you think you would in a second if Wyatt asked you?" When she didn't respond after a moment, I forced myself to sit up, inch by painful inch. "Tobes?" I called, before I'd sat all the way up, hoping she was still in the room and I hadn't just been talking to myself. But she was there, twisting her hands together, in the way I'd learned long ago meant she was upset about something. "You okay?" Toby bit her lip, then came over to the bed and flopped down next to me. "I talked to Wyatt," she said, her voice quiet as she pulled at a loose thread on her comforter. "Oh," I said, my heart sinking as I realized from her tone that this wasn't good news. Otherwise, I would have heard about it immediately, with lots of big smile, star, clapping hands, and heart emojis. "Yeah," Toby said, pulling at the thread harder now. "I figured that you guys had been telling me to forever, and what's the worst that could happen, so I asked him if he wanted to hang out sometime, just the two of us." And at least he didn't pretend not to understand what I was talking about," Toby said with a sigh. "He just said that he thinks I'm great, but he's interested in someone else." This made me sit up straighter, and a second later I registered it immediately, as my abs felt like they were on fire. "I'm so sorry, T," I said, trying to reach out to hug her, but giving up when I realized it wasn't going to happen. "Yeah," Toby sighed, as she gave me a sad smile.
What did Bree say? Just that it's better to know, and she's right. Now maybe I can start to get over him. Who's this girl? I asked. This honestly had shocked me, and I figured it had to be someone he worked with, since Wyatt was hanging out with us every night. Unless, and this seemed like a real possibility, it was just what he'd told Toby to let her down easier. Toby rolled over onto her side and looked at me, her expression anguished. I don't know. I didn't really feel like I could ask. So then we had the world's most awkward hug, and I pretended I was getting a text and told him I had to leave. I took a breath to suggest getting ice cream or coffee, something to take her mind off of this, when I realized maybe she didn't want to be distracted from it, that maybe this wasn't something she wanted me to try to fix. Maybe she just wanted me to be here. Hey, I said, nudging her with my foot, which was one of the few things I could move without searing pain. So, what are you thinking? Toby gave me a slightly trembly smile, then took a breath and started to talk. I just lay there next to her as the afternoon light started spilling across the room and listened. Chapter 12. Are you guys ready for this? Palmer asked, clapping her hands together. She was standing next to the statue of Winthrop Stanwich in the fading sunlight, and she was practically bouncing up and down. It was the last week in July, which meant it was finally the night I'd been looking forward to all summer, the night of the scavenger hunt. We were all there, me, Clark, Tom, Palmer, Bree, Toby, and Wyatt. Toby was sitting next to me, while Bree sat on the nearest picnic table, and the boys seemed to be trying to figure out who could get injured the fastest, as they swung, standing up on the playground swings. Palmer grinned and pulled out three sheets of paper, which she fanned out and held up. Three teams of two, she said. Same items on all of them. You guys have 2 hours. What do we win? Toby asked, looking only mildly interested. Ever since the Wyatt rejection, she'd been a little more quiet and sad, like she was a dimmer version of her usual self. I watched her look over at him as the boys jumped off their swings and came to join us, but then immediately look away again. In contrast to the rest of the summer, she'd been avoiding being alone with Wyatt whenever possible. You win eternal glory, Palmer said excitedly. She pulled out a battered trophy on a pedestal, shaped like a cup. And this trophy. When none of us responded, she smiled. Okay, and here's a sweetener. Winner gets to choose the terms of their prize, within reason. What does that mean? I asked. What do you want? Palmer countered. Like, for example, if Toby wins and she wants it as her prize, I drop our emoji bet and she can go back to texting for real again. Next to me, Toby had gone very still. Really? She asked, suddenly sounding much more awake than she had for the past week. You mean it? So, like, if we win, we could make the winning team pay for all our meals at the diner for the rest of the summer? Tom asked. Or we could play guitar without anyone complaining? Wyatt asked, widening his eyes at me. Both sound fair, Palmer said with a grin. You guys ready to learn your teams? Wait, Toby said, and I saw she was looking over at Bree. We don't get to choose? The cup chooses, Palmer intoned. She dropped pieces of paper into the cup and swirled it around. Well, I mean, technically I choose, but you get the idea. I had just looked at Clark when Palmer pulled the first two names from the cup. Lark and Tom, she pronounced as Bree and Toby said, Tark, simultaneously. Next, Palmer said, reaching into the cup. I saw Toby look around at the four of us who were left, her expression growing worried, and I had a feeling the last thing she wanted was to be paired with Wyatt. Bree and Wyatt, Palmer said, and I could practically feel Toby relax next to me, turning her head away when Wyatt walked up to Bree, holding his hand for a high five, saying something that made Bree laugh. And that leaves Andy and Toby, she said, dropping the papers back in the cup. We're going to crush this, right? I asked, smiling at her, secretly hoping this was what Toby needed to get out of her funk. Right, Toby said, blinking at me. Then a look of fierce determination came over her face, and I had a feeling that the possibility of being able to text for real had raised the stakes for her. I mean, yes. She took a step closer to me. Seriously, Andy, she said. My boss doesn't understand emojis and thinks I'm making fun of him when I text. I need this. So this is like a quest, right? Clark asked, looking thrilled, while next to him Tom did a series of limbering up exercises. Kind of, Tom said, as he bent from side to side, then started running in place. Can we call it a quest? Clark asked, his voice getting a little higher, the way it did when he got really excited about something. I've always wanted to go on one of those. Here we go, Palmer said, placing three papers down on the table in front of her. Then she backed away, turning her palms like a croupier to show us they were empty. Best of luck to all teams. You have 2 hours. Your time starts now. We all ran for the table, and Toby grabbed our sheet and ran away with it, gesturing for me to go with her. Tom grabbed a sheet and dashed off, and I looked at Clark. Good luck, I said, raising an eyebrow at him. May the best team win, Clark said, and then pulled me in close to him, dipping me into a Hollywood-style kiss. I giggled, but my laughter soon faded as I started kissing him back for real. Hey! I broke away and looked over to see Toby standing in front of me, waving the paper in my face. Come on! We're wasting time, and you're fraternizing with the enemy. But the enemy's so cute, I said, as Clark pulled me back up to my feet and gave me one more quick kiss, before running off to join Tom, glancing back once and waving to me. That might have been part of their strategy, Toby said, as she snapped her fingers in front of my face. Get you all distracted, and then they get to sweep in and take the win. Well, not on my watch. I'm not losing my chance to start using actual words again. What do we have? I looked at the list Palmer had typed up. Cotton balls, 1 point. This list notarized, 20 points. Blue gumball, 4 points. Article of formal wear, men's or women's, 10 points. Firefly, 12 points. Burnt sienna crayon, 5 points. Hat that's not a baseball cap, 7 points. Bell, 1 point. Book, 1 point. Candle, 1 point. A square you eat, 5 points. Something in a jar, 5 points. Something alive, 7 points. Something with a boat on it, 5 points. An actual boat, 10 points. Something hot, 3 points. Something cold, 3 points. Dictionary, 3 points. Pictionary, 6 points. Something that lights up, 7 points. Item that starts with Z, 9 points. Coin from before 1980, 5 points. Diner menu, 10 points. Business slogan with a pun, 5 points. Pizza with 3 toppings, 5 points. Napkins, 2 points. Bottle of soda, 2 points. Ice cream sample spoon, 3 points. Thriller dance from beginning to end, 12 points. I stared down at the items on the list, thinking about the strategy I'd been refining. I wouldn't make the same mistake I did last time by going for the big-ticket items. This wasn't about getting everything on the list. This was about getting the most points and winning Toby her texting freedom back, not to mention freeing me up from trying to figure out what 3 dancing girls, a cat, and a frowny face meant. Okay, I said, reading the list once, then once again. I watched Bree and Wyatt take off toward his truck, and Tom and Clark start to run for Clark's SUV. What's our plan? Toby asked, running her hands through her hair. I think we go with home court advantage, I said. Toby just looked at me blankly. My house is down the street, I clarified, and she started nodding. I say we go there, get what we can, and we're already ahead of the game. I reached into my pocket for my keys, but it was empty. I frowned, starting to get a bad feeling as I reached into my other pocket. Oh, no. What? I turned in the direction Clark had run, but of course he and Tom were long gone. Clark took my keys, I said, suddenly understanding the dip kiss. I was trying to stay mad at him, but I was actually just impressed with his technique. I hadn't seen it coming. We need to take your car. Bree drove me, Toby said, her eyes getting wide. We both turned to Palmer, who was sitting on top of the picnic table. Palmer, we need your car, Toby said, running up to her. She grabbed Palmer's purse, then started shaking the contents of it out onto the table. Tom drove me, Palmer said, frowning at the pile of her possessions Toby was currently rifling through. Looks like you guys will have to figure out something else. Palmer held up her phone so that we could see the timer counting down. 1 hour and 50 minutes, guys. Tick, tock. Toby and I looked at each other, and I realized there was just one thing to do. I pulled off my flip-flops and nodded down the road. My house, I said, taking a breath. Ready to run for it? Dad! I screamed as I barreled into the house, Toby at my heels. A second later, I realized how that sounded. Everything is fine, I yelled a moment later. There was no need to give my father a heart attack. No, it's not, Toby yelled, though a little less loudly than me. We need help.
What's going on?
My dad called. A moment later, he hustled into the foyer, where we were trying to catch our breath. The run we'd done to get to the house had been enough to remind me that walking large dogs, while nicely toning my biceps, had not actually done much to improve my running ability. He took in the sight of us, and his expression grew more alarmed.
You two okay? Hi there, Toby.
Hi, Mr. Walker, Toby said, still breathing hard, her face pretty much the same color as her hair. We're doing a scavenger hunt, I said, handing my dad the paper, which had gotten more than a little wrinkled during our dash to my house. Were you doing something? I asked, suddenly noticing that my dad's reading glasses were sticking out of his shirt pocket.
No, just looking at something for a friend, my dad said, as he glanced down at the paper, absently smoothing it out.
His eyebrows raised.
This is a pretty challenging scavenger hunt.
Palmer, I said by way of explanation, and my dad nodded.
and we have to win.
We really do,
Toby said, the gleam back in her eye. It's essential.
And Clark stole my keys, so I might need to borrow your car.
He did?
My dad asked, starting to smile. I frowned at him, and his expression grew more serious.
I mean, of course he shouldn't have done that to you, but I didn't think he had it in him.
We need to move, Toby said, clapping her hands together. Let's go!
Okay, I said, leaning over to look at the list, which my dad was still holding. We need to see what we can get here before we go elsewhere, I said, eyes scanning down it. Cotton balls, I said, and I pointed upstairs. My bathroom. On it, Toby yelled as she ran for the staircase.
I can get you a bow tie or cummerbund so you can get your article of formal wear,
my dad said, reading off the paper, and I looked at him, surprised.
If you want me to help, that is.
Yeah, I said, after only the tiniest of pauses. It wasn't that I didn't, I just hadn't imagined that he'd want to help or be a part of this at all. That would be great.
That might be all we have here,
my dad said, pulling out a mechanical pencil from his pocket and starting to make notes on the list, using the hall table as a desk.
I can look at my change and see if I have any from before 1980.
He looked up at me and tapped his pencil twice on the paper.
Do you think that includes 1980?
Probably better not to assume, I said. My dad nodded and started making more notes. I looked down at the paper and shook my head. I don't think I have a burnt sienna crayon, I said. But I can grab a book and a hat that's not a baseball cap from my room.
Andy!
Toby yelled from upstairs. My dad looked at his watch.
Let's reconnoiter in 5,
he said, and I nodded, then bolted up the stairs. What? I asked as I walked through my room to the bathroom. After this many years, I knew that she would have no compunction going through my things, so I wasn't sure what she needed.
Did you get the cotton balls?
Got them, she said, pointing to the bag on the counter. But what's this? She opened up my bathroom cabinet, which was stacked high with pretty much every feminine product you could imagine. Tampons, pads, Midol, and lots of all of them.
What, is there like a shortage or something? She asked, laughing.
Then her expression grew more serious.
Wait, is there actually a shortage? Do I need to stockpile too?
No, I said, resisting the opportunity to mess with her. My mom bought them for me when she found out she was sick.
Oh, Toby said, her expression changing immediately.
She looked at me without speaking, searching my face, and I knew she was trying to see if I wanted her to talk about it or to drop it. She'd do either one in a heartbeat. I knew that from experience. And normally I would have left it at that, but I'd never told anyone this. Maybe not surprisingly, it had never come up before.
Yeah, I said, my throat feeling a little tighter than usual.
She was worried I wouldn't have any when I needed it, and she didn't want me to feel embarrassed about asking my dad to buy them for me. I looked at all the stacked boxes, most of which I hadn't touched in years once I was able to start shopping for myself. But I'd never even thought about throwing them away. My mother had bought them for me. She'd gone to CVS and picked them out so that she could help me even when she wouldn't be here.
That's really nice, Toby said quietly, giving me a smile, and I nodded.
Girls!
My dad yelled from downstairs.
It's been 5 minutes.
Toby paled.
It has?
She grabbed the cotton balls and bolted for the door. Then she stopped and turned back to me.
Unless you want to talk,
she said, voice rising in a question.
I shook my head and pointed to the door. Scavenger hunt. 5 minutes later, we were in the car, all of us, with my dad behind the wheel.
Seatbelts?
He asked as he backed out of the garage. Check, Toby said, from where she was sitting in the middle of the back seat, leaning forward. I hadn't anticipated that we were formally adding a member to our team, but we'd been all set to go, having dropped all the items we were able to grab from the house into a big canvas bag, when my dad had handed me the keys to his sedan and then frowned.
Do you know how to drive a stick shift?
I did not, and I was pretty sure learning to drive stick took more than 5 minutes. And since we still wanted to have a fighting shot at winning this, my dad had offered to drive us. We'd decided on the first stop, and I was trying to figure out our plan for the rest. I think we should get the pizza toward the end, I said, making a note with my dad's pencil as he pulled out onto the road, going a little faster than normal. We can get the napkins, the ice, and the soda at the pizza place, too. I thought of something and looked up. Do you think this is just Palmer's way of getting us to pick up dinner? We don't have time for speculation, Toby snapped, frowning at her phone. I'm trying to learn the Thriller dance here. I thought we agreed to skip that one because it was time inefficient. Well, it's a mute point anyway because my phone just died, she said, dropping it into her bag.
A mute point?
My dad asked, glancing over at me. I know, I said, shaking my head at him. Believe me, we've all tried to tell her. Can I use yours? Toby asked, leaning forward and holding out her hand. Sure, I said, handing it over while still reading the list, waiting for a sudden flash of insight that would help me figure out what item we could get that started with Z. The only thing I could seem to think of was Zamboni, even as I tried to tell my brain there had to be other words that started with that letter. Oh, but do me a favor and text Clark. Tell him I'm mad at him about the keys and he's not going to get away with it.
I think he did get away with it,
my dad pointed out as he slowed for a stop sign, but then immediately gunned the engine again. I had a feeling he was enjoying this.
You're just going to have to figure out how to get him back.
Okay, how's this? Toby asked, handing my phone to me. Angry face, pouting face, furious face. Key, back arrow, thumbs down, skull, face with X's for eyes, angel, sneaker, B. What is this? I asked, turning around to look at her. What? She asked. I said that we were mad, that we wanted the keys back, and if he didn't do it, he was dead. But what's with the sneaker? Toby, she explained in a patient voice. Toby. Come on, Andy, think about it. But this is my phone, I pointed out. You're texting as me. I think you could use actual words and still win the bet. Oh, Toby said, suddenly looking nervous. I'm not so sure about that.
Why can't you text with actual words?
My dad asked as he sped through a yellow. Palmer's betting Toby she can't go the whole summer only using emojis, I said, shaking my head. We tried to talk her out of it. My dad glanced down at my phone, then threw Toby a sympathetic look in the rearview mirror.
Well, I think that's very clever, he said to her, and Toby smiled as she took my phone back from me. Maybe you should have tried harder, he said to me in an undertone.
I fought back a smile as I looked down at the list. Well, if we win this, she's in the clear again, I said. I glanced into the back seat. Tobes, how are we on time? Hour and a half. We're going to need to move.
On it,
my dad said, grinning as he sped up.
We screeched to a stop in front of the diner 5 minutes later, and I turned to Toby.
Ready? I asked, and Toby yelled, "Break!" and bolted from the car, not waiting for me to follow.
Be right back, I said to my dad as I unbuckled my seatbelt.
I'll keep the car running.
I ran full out toward the diner, taking the steps two at a time. Most of the other items on the list could be acquired at a variety of places, or at least more than one. But for diner menu, I was pretty sure Palmer meant one of the actual fake leather-bound menus, not the paper ones for to-go orders. We'd also discussed that this might be our best chance to pick up a blue gumball from the candy machines in the waiting area. As I pulled the door open, I saw Toby was already feeding coins into the candy machine and cranking the knob.
Just check the dates, I reminded her as I continued into the restaurant.
Anything before 1980, don't waste on the gumball. Toby gave me a withering, I know, look, but I noticed that she started checking her coins. I approached the hostess stand, which was deserted, as usual, even though the restaurant was pretty full, mostly of families crammed into the booths. I glanced under the hostess stand, where I'd seen extra stacks of menus in the past. But was I actually going to be able to just steal one? This immediately became a moot point, though, since the podium was empty. I looked around the restaurant and spotted Carly sitting at the nearly empty counter with a stack of menus and a bottle of Windex in front of her. I headed straight over, grateful that she was working and not one of the waitresses who hated us. I knew we would have had no luck at all with them.
Hi there, I said in my friendliest voice, as Carly looked up from where she was cleaning the menus, Windexing and then wiping off with a towel.
It's self-seating now, she said, giving the appetizer page a wipe down.
Anything that's open?
No, it's not that, I said, taking a breath. I needed to be charming and ingratiating, or we didn't have a chance. I realized that I hadn't had to do this in a while, since I hadn't had to go to any fundraisers or meet with any potential donors. It was like trying to flex a muscle I hadn't used in a long time.
I was just wondering if, possibly, we could just borrow one of these menus for an hour or two. We'll bring it right back. And you can even give me one of the ones you haven't gotten to yet, and I can clean it for you.
I smiled brightly at Carly, who just looked at me and gave the menu another spray.
This about the scavenger hunt? She asked, nodding before I'd had a chance to answer.
They already beat you in here, Clark and... Carly frowned, and there was a long pause, a much longer pause than was normally needed to come up with someone's name.
Phil?
She finally asked, sounding very unsure of her answer. I tried to keep my face steady and resolved not to tell Tom that Carly thought his name was Phil. It would probably just add insult to injury that she knew Clark's name, even though he'd been going there for 6 weeks, but not Tom's, who'd been going there for 3 years.
Right, I said, nodding. Guess they beat us here. But do you think we could have one, too?
Sorry, Carly said, snapping a menu shut and adding it to the stack. I made a promise.
But
it wasn't like the diner, as far as I knew, had a one-menu-per-scavenger-hunt policy. If she could give Clark and Tom one, why not one to us?
Also, they gave me $40 not to give you one, Carly said, raising an eyebrow at me.
So, no can do.
I silently cursed Tom, since I was pretty sure this had been his idea. Learned, no doubt, from Palmer's sister Ivy, who had won numerous Alden family scavenger hunts with only one item, having spent the whole scavenging time shutting down other people's chances. I took a breath to try and persuade Carly, but she'd just spun her stool so that her back was to me. Clearly, I wasn't going to get anywhere with her. Not unless I could somehow find $80 to bribe her with. I walked out to the candy machines, where Toby was fuming. No luck? She just pointed down, where I could see her purse was half filled with gumballs, none of them blue. I've gotten like 8 yellows and 4 reds, Toby said as she checked the date on her quarter and dropped it in the slot. Usually all you can get are these stupid blue gumballs. Well, maybe Tom and Clark got to all of them first, too, I said, shaking my head. Toby opened up the little metal flap and pulled out a green gumball, then frowned at me. What do you mean? She asked, throwing the green one into her purse. Where's the menu? The guys gave Carly $40 not to give us one. What? Toby straightened up to face me. That's just unfair. Your stupid boyfriend with his stupid dragon money. The outside door swung open and my dad stepped in, looking between me and Toby.
You ladies doing okay? He asked, glancing down at his watch. Because we should probably get going.
Clark's bribing people not to give us menus, Toby said, looking at me like this was somehow my fault. We don't know that, I said. Let's not cast aspersions. It could have been Tom, or as Carly calls him, Phil. And none of these are blue, Toby sighed, picking up her purse, which made a clicking sound. She sighed. Let's just move on. They won this round. My dad glanced into the diner and frowned. I saw a look in his eye, one I recognized. I knew my dad really did care about helping people and making a difference, but he was also great at campaigning. And this was the look he had when he was behind in a debate, when pundits were calling the election, and not in his favor, when all seemed lost. It was how he looked just before he started to fight back.
Not so fast, he said, as he started to walk into the restaurant.
Toby blinked at my dad, then looked at me. What does that mean? I didn't answer her, just watched my dad stride up to Carly, his important person walk still making people in the restaurant look up and take notice.
Hello?
I could hear him saying, his voice carrying across to me easily. He held out his hand for a handshake, and I noticed Carly take it, suddenly sitting up a little straighter.
I'm Representative Alexander Walker. I was hoping to talk to you about a time-sensitive matter.
I looked back at Toby. It means we're getting a menu. 5 minutes later, we were all running out to the car together, my dad clutching 2 leather-bound menus with a smile on his face. How did you do that? I asked as we ran, the contents of Toby's bag clinking as she walked. My dad beeped open the car and we all got in, nobody wasting any time.
I just told her,
he said as he started the car and screeched out of his parking spot,
that I was thinking about hosting a campaign fundraiser there and wanted to see what kind of options they had available.
And she believed you? I asked. My dad nodded to the menus he'd dropped on the dashboard.
Enough to give me those, he said. I just need to return them tomorrow, along with a signed picture for their wall.
Awesome, Toby said, leaning forward between our seats as far as her seatbelt would allow. Onward. Tom, did you have success at the diner? Me.
Pouting face, pouting face, pouting face. Girl with crossed arms. 2 people in silhouette. Elephant.
What's with the elephant? I asked, taking my phone back from Toby as we ran up the steps to Captain Pizza. We'd called in our order on the way, and I was just crossing my fingers that, even though it was a Friday night,
they would actually have our pizza ready on time. I saw, next door, my dad striding into Paradise Ice Cream, where he was going to try to get the ice cream tasting spoon, despite the fact that they weren't disposable at Paradise, but actual spoons that you dropped into a mason jar to be washed and reused. We were getting tight on time, but with luck, we'd be leaving the pizza parlor with three items checked off the list. Pizza with three toppings, bottle of soda, and napkins. "Because elephants never forget," Toby said, like this was the most obvious answer in the world, as she yanked open the door. "And I'm not going to forget, either." "We got the menus," I reminded her as we ran up to the counter. The restaurant was half filled already, and I hoped it wasn't going to affect how fast they were getting to-go orders out. "Even so," Toby said darkly. "Hey," a blonde girl in a Captain Pizza shirt said as we approached the counter. "Dawn," read the lettering in military typeface on her t-shirt. "Can I help you?" "Picking up for Walker," I said as I glanced down at the clock on my phone. "Large pie with toppings on 3/4 of it and 1/4 plain." I had been the one placing the order, so this had been my attempt to try to get some pizza I could actually eat, since I wasn't going to touch the sausage-mushroom-onion combo that Toby swore to me was actually really good. "And we need a bottle of soda," Toby said, slapping her hand on the counter while I silently tried to tell her to take it down a notch. "And napkins! All the napkins you have!" "Okay," Dawn said, looking a little freaked out as she turned to look at the to-go boxes stacked above the oven. "I've got the soda," a voice behind us said, and a girl with short dark hair came out from where she'd been sitting in a booth. She wasn't wearing a Captain Pizza uniform, and it took me a moment to recognize her as Emily Hughes. "Hi," I said immediately, then hesitated. I knew who she was, and I was pretty sure she knew me, since I'd been in AP Physics with her last year. But mostly, I knew her because everyone knew who Emily Hughes was. She was half of the school's golden couple. She smiled back at me. "Oh, hi, Andy," she said. "How's it going?" "We're kind of in a hurry," Toby said. Emily just laughed. "Sure," she said, crossing behind the counter and heading to the refrigerated cases. "What kind of soda?"
"Any kind," Toby yelled, as I said, "Diet Coke?"
"Pie's up," Dawn said. She slid it across the counter to me. I handed her a 20, and she turned to the register to ring me up. As she did, I noticed the back of her t-shirt read, "Captain Pizza, you better marshal your appetite." I looked at Toby, then nodded at the shirt, and saw her eyes widen. This could easily take care of business slogan with a pun. "So," I said, as I took back my change from Dawn and dropped a dollar in the tip jar. "Do you guys sell those shirts here?"
"These?"
Dawn asked, glancing down at herself and making a face.
"Why would you want this?"
Emily placed the 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke in front of me and came to stand next to Dawn, leaning her elbows on the counter.
"It's..." I started, trying to think of some excuse that would make sense, but finally decided we didn't have time for me to come up with anything rational, and that I should probably just go with the truth.
"We're doing a scavenger hunt, and we need something that has a business slogan with a pun," I explained.
"Ah," Dawn said, turning to Emily. "So you're trying to check items off a list?" she asked, nudging her. "What's that like?"
"Ignore my friend," Emily said to us, rolling her eyes. "She's inhaled too many pizza fumes today."
"We don't sell the shirts," Dawn said,
bending down under the counter. But we hired this guy who lasted, like, one day and then quit in a huff last week. She held it up, turning it around so I could see. The name on the front read TJ, and on the back was printed, Captain Pizza. You get the general idea. I could give it to you if you want. I'm pretty sure he's never coming back. That's awesome, I said, and next to me, Toby nodded and grabbed the shirt out of Don's hands. Thank you so much. We were halfway across the parking lot, headed for the car, when I saw my dad walking out of Paradise Ice Cream, a pint in one hand, and his car keys in the other, whistling in a way that I'm sure he thought was nonchalant, but actually wasn't.
Got the ice cream,
he called to us, in a loud, far too cheerful voice, glancing once behind him. He started walking fast down the steps, and I didn't understand what was happening until the door to Paradise opened and an annoyed-looking girl stepped out. Hey, she called, as my dad started walking even faster. Sir, you're not supposed to take the sample spoons. I looked at my dad, feeling my jaw fall open as he tossed the keys in my direction. I caught them with one hand, which surprised me so much I almost dropped them again.
Unlock the car,
he said to me, now breaking into a run.
I think we should get out of here.
The girl was still standing in the doorway, glaring at him, phone held out in one hand like she was debating calling the police. I unlocked the car, and Toby and I got in just a second before my dad did. He handed me the pint of ice cream, I handed him the keys, and he started the car and roared out of the parking lot. You stole the sample spoon?
Well, she didn't want to give it to me,
my dad said, glancing into the rearview mirror once, like he was making sure the Paradise security team wasn't giving chase.
I offered to pay her for it, he said,
slowing down a little now as he must have realized that he wasn't actually involved in a high-speed pursuit.
Here,
he said, pulling a spoon out from his shirt pocket, then glanced behind him at Toby.
Did we get the pizza?
She nodded. And a slogan with a pun in it, she said. So I think we're in pretty good shape. She leaned forward, motioning for me to give her my phone. How are we on time? We have 35 minutes left, I said. I looked at the list. We need a place where we can get a lot of little stuff, because some of them have big points value for some reason.
I know where to go, Toby said, leaning forward between the front seats. Mr. Walker? Talk to me, Toby, he said, and she grinned. Take the right up there, she said. And step on it.
6 pretty harrowing minutes later, my dad screeched up at the entrance to the gas station mini-mart and swung into an open parking space with a spin of the wheel. I had a feeling it was going to be hard for him to return to regular driving after this, and not driving while pretending to be James Bond. Are you sure you don't want help? I asked, turning to look at Toby. No. Toby said, hand already on the car door handle. This one is all me. I nodded, even as I snuck a glance at the clock. We only had half an hour left, and we still had to make it back to the Winthrop statue, but Toby felt she had something to prove, and was insisting on doing this alone.
How long did she say she needed for this?
My dad asked a minute later, looking straight ahead through the glass doors, where we could see Toby dashing up one aisle and down another, then doubling back to the first one. While there were a few people pumping gas, there was nobody in the mini-mart except the guy behind the counter, which, judging from how crazy Toby was looking from out here, was probably a good thing. I glanced down at the time I'd set on my phone. She said she only needs 7 minutes. I wasn't sure she was going to make it, since she was still running around the store and she had only 3 minutes left.
I'll take that action, my dad said, raising his eyebrows at me.
You think she can't do it? I asked, as we both